Hello and welcome to Faster Than Reloading, episode 29 for the week of November 16th, 2020. We're dropping every week to give you the rundown on all the latest gaming news you could possibly need. My name is Anthony Palm, and joining me as always, Chicago's prodigal son, Miguel Alvarez.
What is going on? What is going on, guys?
A lot of new stuff. I'm excited to talk about it. But also joining us as always is the former Brooklyn bad boy who now lives in Manhattan, Jeffrey Mizrahi.
What up, what up, what up?
And guest starring this week is my good friend Jesse Lucatino from what's your Twitch handle? Just at twitch.tv/JMLmaster.
Oh, you're well prepared, my man.
Yep, that is
know.
It.
I don't know. I'm assuming that's what
that
it is.
That is it.
Why am I so washed out? I look like a fucking ghost. Like, I don't know what.
Don't worry about it. Don't watch the video.
we got a couple people that watch it. But yeah, so this week we're going to be talking about all next gen stuff. There's not really any news, quote unquote, that we're going to be talking about, like as far as news articles or anything. We're just going to be talking about the PS5. We're going to be talking about games. Jesse is here specifically because he has an Xbox Series X, so we can get his perspective on that as well, so no one can say that we're biased. Yeah, so, I mean, do you guys want to just get right into it? Actually, real quick, before we get right into it, visit extra-life.org/participant/FTR-podcast. You can also find the link in the description for the YouTube / audio feed, because I know that's an annoying link. So click that. If you can go donate to us, we've hit our goal this year of $1,000 raised for the Children's Miracle Network. I'm extremely proud of everyone that's donated. And I hope that we can keep going before the end of the year. So, but check that out if you don't mind. Even $1 helps, and we would appreciate that greatly. But yeah, so let's jump right into it. Who wants to go first?
Just jumping into it. Yeah, so we're talking next gen Xbox Series X, PS5. I'm actually rocking right now, if you are watching the video and looking at Anthony's now very dark face, rocking the Pulse 3D headset, matches the controller. I like how this must be the most matching console launch ever. Matches the system on the floor. Can't really think of maybe the Wii or something. I don't really know. But yeah, I'm loving the PS5. I guess let's start off with initial impressions. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all love the consoles that we spent $500 each on, right? I would hope so.
Imagine. Because, yeah, why would you ever go into the thing? Like, if anything, your mind's just going to justify it, you know? You're not just going to shit on it.
I mean, because you've been loving the PS5, right? On our chat.
I have issues with the PS5. Oh, many issues.
Okay. You got issues.
But for the most part, playing it, the games, some of the features, there's so much potential.
Hold on. I think Jeff's main issues are UI issues.
Which the UI is a joke. Okay, if we're getting into my issues, the UI is an absolute joke. The fact that trophies is hidden still under profile. The fact that...
Game base is dumb. Let's just get that out of the way.
Game base makes
just give
no
me my
sense. Why is
just do parties and games. And I don't know why they had to mess with parties. Even on PS4, they messed it up. They messed parties up. So that's not a PS5 issue.
They retroactively fucked
that's
it
like
up.
A yeah, weird.
Good. Parties was
fine.
Good on PS4. You have to, on the PS5, you have to, if you want to share my screen, if I want to see your screen and you want to see my screen, one of the coolest features, might I add, one of the coolest features, having your friend's screen in a PIP, a picture-in-picture, and you doing something else in a different game. To do that, you have to go through join or view voice chat. Why is the cool share screen thing under voice? It's just annoying, and it has so much potential that I hope they fix.
And I was using that last night, and let's call it for what it is. It's a great concept, but without a party screen, just like, and this is, I think, why I was brought on, like, the party system on Xbox may not be robust, but it is like it is. It's the staple for what you need. Like, you need to have all of those features in one central location. And instead, you have this awkward game base, which I went to go look for.
Why did they
invent
this
game base?
And I couldn't find him. I could not find him because it was underneath like 8 or 9 random messages that Fox sent me.
Yeah, they like converted old PlayStation messages into parties. And it's like parties aren't really parties the way we think of them. Parties are more like group chats or messages.
You know? Now they are.
And then
now
you need to start a voice chat inside that that quote-unquote party, which is what we normally think of as a party. So it's weird that they changed that, but I mean, outside of that, that those are really the biggest issues I have. There's a lot of cool stuff with UI too.
The tech. We'll talk about like in more of the hardware, but it has the tech to fix all these issues.
Yeah, I think they're going to hear the issue. I mean, the other major issue is that the lack of 1440p support still, which is mind-boggling. But we'll see what happens with that. I mean, that it's all stuff they can fix. You know what I mean? It's not like it's fundamentally broken in the console. So we'll see. But Miguel's got to stand up. What do you want to say?
Yeah.
Now that I'm able to talk, right?
Jump in.
No, I don't want to just talk over each other. Let's just keep in mind that I'm talking to Xbox now. That on the Xbox 360, the party system and all that stuff was fantastic. And when they moved to the new console, which was Xbox One, they messed up all that stuff. And it feels like the PlayStation this generation is doing the same thing.
So okay, so Xbox One didn't mess it up this way. Xbox One, it just had issues. It had connection issues and NAT issues. It wasn't the party system, but the party system itself was fine on Xbox One when it launched. It just no one could connect to each other.
The UI, you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, like the UI itself was fine. This is PS5 is a problem because it's the UI. It's game base. It's whatever the fuck parties are now. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Because once you actually figure it out and get to a voice chat, then it's fine. It's trying to figure out how the fuck to get to a voice chat is the problem.
I don't think it's that hard, but whatever. In less than a year,
it's not intuitive.
Probably gonna be.
I mean, you can't defend it. Like you can't.
I can't. I'm not defending, but I'm just saying. In a year, it's probably gonna go back to how it was because everyone's bitching and moaning.
I hope so.
It's just annoying. Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah, whatever. We'll have to wait till then. Getting past that, though.
After you guys do it a couple of times, like it's like, oh, okay.
Oh yeah, like I know how to do it now. It's just annoying.
Is it annoying? Yes, it is annoying.
But like, I had to go delete like 20 old PSN like message chats just so that I could see my friends list when I pop up game base.
And functionally, you're right, Miguel. Like teaching habits is fine, but if it's not intuitive, then it discourages anybody coming in. Like I'm brand new to PlayStation, wanting to play a PlayStation. Right? I thought that the XMB back in the day was the shit,
and then
all of a sudden I get into PS. And I'm like, I don't know where anything is. I don't know how to join a party. I don't know why I have to leave a party, and then it still stays. The PS4 specifically when I got to there.
Because PS4 was easy as fuck. You just press up. You just press up.
Again, and then I'm coming from an Xbox environment where things are one button press. You hit one button, it just goes into the party. I want to leave. I hit one button, and I just hit exit. That's it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
PlayStation's a little bit different. I have to go into a couple submenus to get there, and that's fine. Teaching somebody how to do something is fine. To Miguel's point, 100%, after a couple times, you will get used to it. But what I think is awesome that you didn't even mention was that I was able to take this guy yesterday for a test drive and actually do a full-on voice chat.
DualSense.
A full voice chat from here.
Well, that's what I did like when I first turned it on, like when Miguel first got on after I had been playing Astro for a little bit on day one. I sent him a party chat or he sent me one or whatever, you know, whoever did it first. And then I was literally just like talking to him for like an hour through the controller. His audio was coming through the speaker and I was talking to him through the microphone.
Exactly. And I watched Kyle play Spider-Man and he had me picture in picture. And that was awesome because we had each other. We were watching. We were talking to each other. He helped me with something. I helped him with something. That experience does not exist on Xbox. That technology does not exist on Xbox. I mean, I love that.
If we're talking about technology, I think the best thing from next gen, I think both consoles, is the DualSense.
I agree with that.
Obviously both systems are powerhouses or whatever, you know, they're amazing powerhouses, but I feel like the controller, the DualSense, is just, if third parties, you know, like Call of Duty is doing some stuff with like the shooting mechanic,
a lot of stuff, yeah,
and if they keep supporting, I think that's gonna be a system seller for PlayStation.
Well, I mean, even old games are adding support, like The Last of Us Part 2 added haptics and trigger support for it.
Oh, did it? I didn't see that.
There's not like an upgrade yet. Like, there's no 60 frames or anything yet, but they did add the controller support. So I think even if bare minimum, like Call of Duty and then first party games support it, I think that might even be enough to justify. You know what I mean?
Because playing it with Astrobot, which I plan on already. Thank you.
I think all three of you did.
Yeah, I got the platinum as well. Yeah.
Nice.
I platinum to you. I even got the
amazing
add-on trophies.
Game.
I'm like over halfway towards the platinum. I just haven't played it.
it's someone tweeted Nick Sutner. It hits three things. It hits a great game in general. Just a
hold on. Do you want Miguel? Did you have anything left to say before we move on?
No, keep going.
Segue industrial.
Like I'll pass back to him right after this thing. It's a great game in general. It's a great tech demo for a system, and it's a great PlayStation retrospective look back homage to the past. You know,
there were things in there that I was like, holy shit, I never knew PlayStation made this.
Dude, it's I want to compare. I want to go through one, maybe next episode, or maybe an episode soon. I want to go through all of the artifacts in Astro. So for anyone that hasn't played Astro's Playroom yet, you get these things called artifacts, and it's essentially just like old PlayStation tech. So like you get like you can get like a PS2 memory card, you get like the Vita, you get like a Move wand, stuff like that. And so it's cool. I want to go through the list and see how many of them you guys did or didn't know, because so far every single one I've come across, I knew what it was.
I didn't know one. PlayStation mouse.
I didn't know one, and it was PlayStation GPS.
Oh, I knew every. I
didn't know
the
that
PSP
one.
See, I knew had the weirdest shit,
dude. When I got the PSP camera, I was like, "Holy shit!" Because what was
how did you get the camera with Invisibles? Invisibles,
Invisibles, or whatever it's called. Invisibles. Yeah, the weird animal game. Yeah. That was a throwback.
GPS got me.
And like Miguel's like, what the fuck's a multi-tap? I was like, oh my god. Like it brought me back to like fucking, I don't even know what games I used it for.
Which one though? The L-shaped one or the
the original brick. The original brick one. So for anyone that doesn't know, the multi-tap was a PS2 adapter that plugged into your controller, port, which allowed you to have more than two controllers plugged into the console at once.
Which supported a total of what, like eight?
I think it was four on one, and then you had the additional port, so you could have five total.
But how many games supported that? You had like maybe a couple. I had one called Cold Winter, and I remember that was the only one I had that I ever owned that was a multi-tap supported game. Crazy.
Wait, all it did was make it be 2 to 4 players?
Yeah.
I mean, the PS2 only had two ports on it, so.
Yeah.
Whoa, was PS2 just a most... I missed that. I missed the PS2. I was a GameCube guy. But,
Yeah, because GameCube
PS2 was
ports,
only so. Two people?
Well, out of the box, you had to buy a multi-tap. So, like wrestling games, like if my brother and my friends came over to play like wrestling games, like SmackDown, just bring it or whatever. Like we would have to have a multi-tap for them to play with us to do like a quarter, like a triple threat match or something.
The L one, that's for the PS1, not the PS2.
Yeah, why is it L? I don't understand that.
It was just an awkward shape because they wanted to envision it so that you had it pointed so that like you had two coming off of each side.
Yeah.
That way you can sit. You can sit. Naturally amongst the couch, like no one sits in a straight line on a couch, usually it's like scattered.
Cute.
Yep. But anyway, back to that. So the Astro Playroom in my eyes is, it's almost like a tech demo disc come to life as a full game, and that's what I pictured as it as. Game, I pictured it as like all the demo discs from back in the day, ironically some of which are artifacts in the game, but the demo disc, I thought that premise of what this game ended up becoming was a full featured game that just taught you everything about the haptic controller, the mic within the controller, which I haven't seen anyone do anything like that since the DS. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, since like fucking Nintendogs, right?
WarioWare Twisted, I think.
Yeah, WarioWare. Yeah, WarioWare.
Microphone used. But it was a really cool tech demo. As a full game, it's perfect for my wife. She loves it. She plays it. She absolutely thinks that this game is the perfect game for her. It's kind of a collectathon.
Double the size, honestly.
That's so offensive. It's kind of what?
It's a collectathon.
Yeah. Oh, collectathon, I think it's nice.
It's a collectathon. That's what the game is. It's like an old Banjo-Kazooie Donkey Kong rare type game where you're going around collecting all this stuff. And it's fine. It's totally fine. I think the game's great. I think it's fun. It's the best pack-in game. I talked to Palm this morning. It's the best pack-in game, I think, since Wii Sports.
Nice. I say, if you see me on Twitter, Mr. Brawl96, since Super Mario Bros., on the NES. But here's my reasoning why I think it's more. And I think I might, I don't know, whatever. This is my opinion. I think the double jump hover attack, that's such a great, that's like that's not another game's. I just think that's such a neat, like fun idea that really the last time I saw that was an Astrobot rescue mission on PSVR. And like no one has taken that in the past 4 years. I think it's like a really cool platformer thing. If you know of a game that does that same thing, like let me know. Like it does different things. It's not like basic, you know. It's like I think it's more involved than most people give it credit for.
I mean, I feel like PlayStation knows where what they got with Astrobot.
I hope so, because that's what I was saying.
Yes, yeah. I hope so too, because just imagine an actual proper game, which is, like I'm saying, like at least double the size of the game. Add a couple more things or whatever. And I would pay, honestly, like $50, $60 for the game.
70.
I can definitely see them adding levels to this, though.
Do you really?
I mean, not a lot, but I can see them adding levels.
That'd be so interesting.
Like, even if they just add, like, already. One level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not paid, either. I would see them being like, hey, we added another level to Astro's Playroom. Check it out. Like, whenever a new peripheral comes out or something, it's like...
When the BR2, whatever they're going to call it, that's when I feel like they're going to add something to it.
Well, Miguel, speaking of VR, they made a, looking at how long to beat, 7.5 hour Astro game already on VR, you know, Rescue Mission.
Well, that was a $40, $50 game?
So...
Was it 60?
Yeah.
I might have got it on sale.
It was $40,
$50. Yeah. But, I think the only reason that Rescue Mission doesn't have as much like popularity because it's VR, of course, you know.
Fantastic game, though.
Ooh, if they did like a port of Astrobot Rescue Mission to 2D and you could play it on the PS5, that'd be lit.
Would it?
I could see that because they're not really supporting.
It could actually work.
Yeah, they would have to create it like if you hit a button, you could like freeform. Because the only things with the VR really that does is camera. Oh, wait, no. Mm.
I mean, the camera, you could just use the analog stick, bro.
No, be like spatial. Like,
you like have to some stuff you had to look around.
You have to look around, yeah. Like,
analog stick.
I mean, you could just press and hold a button and then move the stick or something. Or press and hold a button and move the controller. You can maybe like gyro move the controller to look around.
That's what I'm saying.
Stuff.
You would have to be like an orb or something. Like a maybe. Camera. Like, yeah. Whatever. Either way, Astro, we love him. We all love him. Moving on to some other facets of the PS5. 3D audio. Has anyone been able to feel that at all? And anyone? I think all our headsets support it. Mine does.
Pulse. I think it supports all headsets.
Yeah. Oh, yes. True.
I don't know, honestly, because I'm using I have the 3D on.
Hold on. What games have you been playing? Because not all games.
Astro, Call of Duty.
Call of Duty doesn't have. Spider-Man has though.
Well, Spider-Man, I guess. I have the 3D audio on the whole time on the headset. And honestly, I don't know if it's like on or off, honestly.
Yeah, so like I don't think I've come across anything that has had like a...
The only game... Go ahead, finish that thought.
Well, I just don't think I've come across anything that's had like a... like something that was intended to make you send, like, you know how Astro highlights the haptics and all that stuff. I don't think I've come across anything that's highlighted 3D audio. I think it's just like, oh, I can hear this guy to the back left of me in Call of Duty. You know what I mean? Like
the only game that I have found useful for 3D audio is Hellblade. The only game.
Mm. Well, did you go back and try that?
I don't know what they're doing because it's just. I mean, it supported 3D audio on the PS4.
Well, surround sound was only through the gold headset, though. So the gold headset did support surround sound.
That wasn't the 3D Tempest engine, though. That was just a different type of
3D. All right.
Well, no, you're talking about surround sound. You're talking about surround sound.
What do you guys mean talking about? 3D this Tempest 3D Tempest engine is just the PlayStation proprietary shit. But games that support it are the both Spider-Man games and Astros. Those are the only games out right now. And
a lot of people are not gonna notice it, honestly. Dude.
Yeah, I didn't notice it. I kind of want to shout that
until
out.
Until something highlights it, I don't think anyone's gonna notice what it is.
Yeah,
the feature exists. That's what matters.
Cool. I want to get it because we have Jesse here. You know, Xbox. I want you, Jesse, to tell us why people should upgrade to the Series X. Now that you have it home, why would people buy it? If they have a Xbox Series
or Xbox One X.
Yeah.
I have every generation of Xbox and I am not disappointed by this Xbox. I'm simply not. Do I want to buy this Xbox if I'm looking to upgrade? No, it's silly. There's nothing that would make this game or this system necessary to purchase right now. And the reason why is because if you're coming from the same OS, you're coming from the same games because this was the whole point of Microsoft this year. And a lot of people just,
they're like, oh my God, there's no innovation. There's nothing out. Like this system sucks. Like that's not their point. And if you think that that's their point, then you are not their target consumer. They went out and they said, we don't need you to buy this console, but if you want a powerhouse, this is what you guys have been asking for. This is a pro version of what you already have in the series and the One X. And by the way, Series X, stupidest name. Do not name your console so
they
similar
finally
to
had
your last
the chance.
Console.
They finally had the chance to it. Fix the horrible naming convention, and they didn't. They just kept going with
series.
It. They doubled down on it.
When you turn it on, nowhere on this console, guys, does it say Series X. When you turn it on for the first time, it's called Xbox. That's it.
Yeah, that's great.
So let me get back to it. So there is no innovation in this console. If you're buying it for innovation, you're buying it for the wrong reason. It's simple. PlayStation has the innovation, but I'm still an Xbox guy. I love the console. I think it's great. The load times are spectacular. I can't stress that enough. They've only added one button to this controller. It's a dedicated share button right in the middle. That's it. That dedicated share button will allow you to share instantly instead of hitting the Xbox button and the X button, which wasn't that hard to begin with, but that's the only difference. Aside from that, the controller feels like an Elite controller with the exception of no actual metal parts. So the controller feels good in your hand. It is a little bit more compact. I weighed these things out. I could not get over the fact that I had one in one hand and one in the other. And I said, I can't tell if the Xbox One controller or the Series X controller weigh the same or different, or if I'm just losing my mind. It's a little bit more compact. It feels better in the hands. It's not the same as the PlayStation, which this generation is a little bit bigger, which is kind of interesting because I've never seen that before side by side. It is a little bit bigger and therefore better for longer gaming sessions. I think, Pom, that was your biggest argument as to why you like this controller over the Xbox.
Well, I like that it's wider. I don't like how narrow. It's not that it's physically larger overall in bulk. It's just your hands are closer together than the Xbox
controller.
It is
wider. It's a bit taller. Very similar to the system. The system itself, very similar.
Because that's why I like the DualShock 4 over the Xbox One controller.
So as far as it goes, though, Miguel, there's no games out there that make you need to buy an Xbox Series X. Sea of Thieves loads in 45 seconds. I'm in a game. On the Series X, 45 seconds. On the One X, I'm looking upwards to 4 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
So that's the significant change. Whoa. It's that significant.
Now, to be fair, I loaded, and I was going to bring this up too, I loaded into the game just as fast as you from my PC, which, I mean, it is cool that Xbox has this crossplay between all its first-party games. So, like, I was playing Sea of Thieves with you. You were on Xbox Series X. I was on PC, and then your other friends were on, well, Caden was on, your brother was on Series X too, and then
At that time, was he on a Series X? Yes, he was. Yeah. He was.
And then Ant, who was also playing with us, was on a, I don't know which
one.
Like an OG launch one. Wow. So it is cool that there's all this connectivity. But to be fair, I did load in like as fast as you. So
But you're on an SSD on a souped up computer.
Yeah.
You're
so
not sitting on some bum computer.
That goes back to what you were saying about Xbox isn't really looking to innovate as much as they just want you to play how you want to play.
The exact same. Everything is the exact same. Nothing has changed. They're not trying to innovate right now. They heard people's biggest complaint about Xbox, and you guys probably agree. What's Xbox's biggest flaw right now?
No games.
No games. That is where their focus is right now. They are focusing on purchasing studios and making good quality games. Now, I know those things don't go hand in hand. I know
let's see them make an original game instead of just buying all these other titles. But
and that's fair. That's a fair point to be had. My point, though, is if you're buying an Xbox Series X, you're doing it because you either want the increased load times the decreased load times and the increased power.
Better graphics stuff.
Yeah, or you want a better graphical output. Aside from that, if you have a gaming computer, you don't need a Series X. If you're buying an RTX 3090, you don't need a Series X. They're the same price.
But now the graphics card. Would you even recommend not buying it to like someone on a 1X? Maybe not that you're not recommending it, but that you kind of like not saying rush out and get it without thinking about it.
You know? I think I understand what you're saying. The 1X, keep your 1X. Do not go get a Series X, unless, again, you need this stuff. All the same features are going to be available to you, the same OS, everything else. If you're coming from a 1, purchase the Series X. That's your cutoff. If you're
purchasing a 1 even or an S. Yeah, okay, I agree with that. The 1 or the S, I think, if you want to buy a Series X, I think that's the jump.
And if you're unsure, buy a Series S. Because those are also very, very nice.
See, the problem with the Series S that I'm seeing right now, the problem I'm hearing about the Series S right now is that the backwards compatibility is fucked up on it because of the fact that it's defaulting to the 1S versions of backwards compatible games instead of the 1X version of backwards compatible games, because the 1X would default to 4K and the Series S doesn't have 4K. So hopefully they fix that. Hopefully they let it, you know, play as the 1X version of backwards compatible games, and then just, I don't know how the, I don't know. That sounds like a something they're going to
work on. Well, here's also an argument to be had. Where do you currently have your PS5? Where is it among your entertainment system?
Under my desk. It's so cool.
Under your desk. Okay. Is it getting proper ventilation?
Of course.
A lot of people who are getting these consoles are not abiding by that. They're not understanding that. These consoles are huge. Guys, they're huge.
Yeah, my friend called it a radiator.
Well, they're basically...
It's a router.
Well, the PS5 is literally just one giant exhaust port.
Yeah. So
the console is designed around being an exhaust port.
It does, yeah. My friend called it a radiator, and it does get hot if, like, you're playing a long session and you feel it. But then in the morning, I'm like, is this, no way it's still hot? And it's like cold as ice, you know? So it cools down, but, you know.
Now, it's nice for Xbox, you know, having the consoles and having the, like, if you want to keep your Xbox Series S or you want to jump into the next generation, it's nice that they have those options and they're going to keep supporting them, supposedly. But I feel like even when they were promoting, I don't know if you could tell me what you think, even when they were promoting this, I feel like they were promoting more Game Pass than the Series X. Yep. Like, I feel like Xbox wanted people to just subscribe to Game Pass. Instead of like, hey, here's this console, like PlayStation was like, here's PS5, and this is why you want it. And I feel like Xbox is like, here's this box, but this is what we have for you, Game Pass. Am I wrong with that? Is that how you think people took that? Or is it just like guys like us that are like more into the business and just kind of know what they want to do? What do you think the casual consumers are thinking with those?
Are you asking specifically what is my opinion on Game Pass being promoted, or what is the opinion?
Like, you think that they're promoting Game Pass more than
consoles? That's their money maker. That's their cash cow. Okay. That's where they're getting everything from. And you know what? It's not a bad idea. Back in the day, I had Sega Channel. We're talking like I had a coaxial plug in the back of my Sega, and I will pay a monthly fee any day over not having to pay for a game ever again. I would rather pay a monthly fee for the remaining however many years I have left. Genesis. But 100%, the monthly pass is awesome, and I would promote that. That is the best value for anybody. My father, who plays once every 3 months, or me, who plays every single day, I play games that I would never try otherwise. And these games with gold, these same thing with the PlayStation games of the month, the collections, like, they're all usually not great games or old games. And that's okay. It's okay, because if you're getting them for free anyway, you have to make your money somehow. Some successful games came out of that. Fall Guys was a free PlayStation Plus game. Like, that's awesome. Occasionally you get a good Xbox game. But Game Pass is where you're paying the monthly fee and you're getting a $60 or a $40 game for $15 a month. And let's say you hate the game, you only paid $15 for it, and you got another 120 games with it. So, like, that is the thing that I would promote 100%.
Okay.
So
Xbox, just last question from Xbox, from my end. So the UI is pretty much the same, right? It's been the same from, I think, like a month and a half ago when they updated it to the, I think, right? It was like a month ago.
It's been a while. So I've had the Insider. I've had it for the better part of 8 months. Had the Insider. But the consumers have had it for, I believe, at least 2 months now. Yeah. But it's the same thing. It's a huge OS change they made on the 1X or the 1 and moved to the Series X. They made that very clear. They were not changing the OS.
Okay. So the OS is similar or close enough.
The interfaces, yeah.
How are your downloads? So, for example, when I was trying to download Black Ops 4. Cold War. Yeah. Says the PS5 automatically decided to download the PS4 version. And I think Anthony did the same thing.
No, I almost did, but I didn't.
You almost did, okay, but you cashed it, and that's when you told me, and that's when I had to delete the one that I had and download PS5 version. Is that, have you noticed that, like, the Series X trying to download, like, a version that it's from a previous console instead of the correct one?
Doesn't it just show it as separate tiles?
It does show them as separate tiles now. Absolutely does. And it has an XS symbol in any box that is a Series X optimized game. So,
because the problem with PlayStation,
my brothers did download the old version and he had very, very bad problems with it, just like you guys did on PlayStation. Unlike you, where the DualShock controller would disconnect in the middle of the match, his would force shut off the game, force reboot the console.
And that's on Series X.
That's on Series X because it had the wrong version installed.
Treyarch is a little indie studio, though. So can you be nice to them, please? Don't make fun.
You didn't really just say their name, did you?
I'll be nice. Just we'll get there. Just don't worry about
it. I'm pretty sure we know what's going on with this game. I'm pretty sure this was a sledgehammer game that Treyarch tried to put a Band-Aid on, and now they're trying to add their stuff.
We'll talk about it.
Jesse, what were you just saying? I had something, but then I just lost it.
You're not saying that Treyarch is an indie game.
He's making
that was a joke. That was a joke. What were you saying?
You clearly
that?
Don't listen to the show because he makes those jokes all the time.
That's a meme. It's Treyarch indie studio.
They act like
what were we just saying? What were we just talking about?
We're talking about the Xbox and
my brother having the issue with the fourth reboot.
Okay, yes. You know what's even worse than not knowing the version? This is what my brother Billy has been telling me. You don't know which games have quick resume or not. So you could be playing game and it doesn't tell you. And you know how they show, you switch to Ori, you switch to Halo, it all saves a state. Uh-huh. But some games like Watch Dogs don't. And it's like restarting the game. So
save.
You get a ping to a server?
No, you didn't have that issue. I don't know. Maybe you're not playing. You didn't play Watch Dogs.
Is it optimized for Series X? Is it that version?
I think it's the right version. I mean, no. There's a whole Reddit list online of people like posting issues that they're having, like the different games. But yeah, the issue is it's not clear what games have the quick resume feature.
That feature is cool, but it's
super cool. It's insanely cool.
It's not really necessary, though. It's one of those things.
That the load times are so short that it's
That's what I was going to say. The load times are so short, Jeff, that it's not even necessary to have that. And I mean, in reality,
you like have open there. You're actually playing and going back and forth. Honestly,
no. The reality is that the ideal world is that games wouldn't require always online, so you could switch back and forth without having to reconnect. You know,
yeah.
If I just want to get, whatever.
No, but you make a good point. There's two counterpoints to that. It's like, one, if I'm playing Call of Duty, I can't have that shit quick resume, because if it does, I lose online service from Call of Duty.
Though, you would still, I don't know, they still have unskippable loading screens games. Even Astros have unskippable loading screen with the fucking PlayStation Studios logo. It's like, why do we increase load times if we're forced to wait to watch this little thing?
Splash screen isn't that long, but Treyarch's is like,
if we just killed 10 seconds off the loading screen, why are we adding 10 seconds with like 5 seconds? It's
for
so
them
weird
to show you who made the game.
Look, Treyarch made this piece of shit. Every time they force me to watch the thing and I know the game loaded, I'm like, emphasizing this?
No, Treyarch, I agree with you on, but I can't blame studios for wanting you to see, you know what I mean? I don't know.
There has to be a better solution than making me wait.
You're the only human on the planet I've ever met that complains about splash screens for games other than Treyarch. Treyarch games, I understand. Treyarch games, I understand.
Pause and jump back to the Xbox quick resume. So
thank you.
The quick resume, like the other thing is, how many games can it quick resume at once before it starts stopping others from quick resuming?
I think it's three or four, right?
Does it let you know? I think it's based on the game.
No, it doesn't let you know. What's the strain on the RAM? How many games can it launch in safe state without having to worry about it?
IGN doing, I think, like 7 or 8.
I had like 5 Tetris went back online.
I feel like it depends on the
game. Yeah.
The game.
What is that costing the system in terms of power? I don't have that answer.
They must reserve it all.
We're gonna test it.
Yeah,
it's like your phone, bro. Like, how many apps can you have
Yeah, it starts closing them.
Yeah, it starts closing them out, obviously, probably after how many.
And
I feel like it depends.
It should be clear. It should be clear. That's the point. That is the point you're trying to make.
I should be able to. Here's my thing. Like, I agree. In the perfect world, maybe, Miguel, it should work just like a phone, right? Maybe I should be able to hit the Xbox button 3 times in a row, and it should pull up all recent games. And that should be it. I should be able to go, oh, shit, I was in the middle of this game. Let me go back to it. Like, that might be a great idea, conceptually, because then you know what's open.
Be that in, like, 2-3 years, bro, honestly.
Maybe for Xbox.
Optimize it. Yeah.
Yeah.
As we said last week, you know, PlayStation 4 didn't have resume from launch, so it took a year.
Yeah, that's crazy. Back on that. Jeff. Okay, I didn't know if you were going to start a new topic or not, because I wanted you to talk about the Pulse 3D headset, because you're the only person I know that got it, and I have a couple friends that want one.
It's a $100 headset. I pretty much bought it because I don't have a good solution for game chat. I used to use the PS, literally for 7 years, using the PS4. Ear dongle that came with the launch PS4.
The one earbud with a shitty inline microphone. It was horrible. And that I used to hate it.
That would give me game chat audio, and I would have a sound bar that gave me game audio. And the other end would get so much fucking echo from the speakers. And I guess it just doesn't work as good as anymore. You know, this little fucking dongle can't last 8-7 years. So on the PS5, it's like super crackly and it's like super shitty. So I'm like, all right, you know what? I also want to see what's all this 3D audio. I'll buy the Pulse headset just because I know for a fact it's going to be PlayStation supported. If they do something next year, they're going to acknowledge that it was a PlayStation thing. It's in fucking Astros, for God's sakes. You know, this headset is going to be cared about. Like, it's not just going to be like a random model and then a number and then, oh, that's the series this. And, you know, they're going to know about this headset. So that's the biggest reason I bought it. It doesn't sound the greatest. I mean, it sounds good enough. I'm not an audiophile, so just take that. You know, I had Astro A50s for like was my primary headset. For
those are nice. I mean, those are like $200-$300 headphones.
Those are $250, yeah, I think. Or no, $300. I got them for $150.
It's the one with the big bass and shit.
Yeah, yeah, and those the 5.1 simulated surround. They do next 7.1. So I don't know enough. Honestly, I don't think this has any. Simulate or, you know, 7.1 surround sound, like mini drivers. Like, I'm pretty sure this is just a basic thing and it's getting all of its
that's the basic one, so it doesn't whenever they release the Platinum version, that's gonna have the 7.1.
yeah. Oh, I could totally see them have like a Pulse 3D Gold or some bullshit.
It's like they have the regular one and then they have
they did the Platinum same thing one. Even for PS3 and PS4.
Yep.
But you know, it's all the 3D Tempest engine in the system. So all that's, you know, you could be wearing the shittiest headphones. It doesn't make a difference. So, you know, you could get better headphones for $100, better sound quality. I know that, but I paid, tell your friend, should I buy these? If you want to buy in to the PlayStation, you know, ecosystem and have a matching headset and know that you're supported. That's the main reason.
Okay, now it's still the USB dongle that it plugs in, right?
Or does same it exact this? Bullshit, yeah, USB dongle.
So it's basically the same as the Gold and the Platinum headset. It's just the new version of that.
Dude, all my USBs are filled up on my PlayStation now, like super fast. I have one for the external, because fucking 825 gigs, 667, you know what I'm saying? One USB for the fucking dongle in the back, and then one USB in the front for charging my charger, my controller.
Not bad.
Easy solution.
They should put more USBs.
Easy solution. Get the control dock from PlayStation. It literally looks just like the PS5. It's got that weird skinny front.
The PlayStation.
It's the PlayStation's actual dock.
Oh no, I don't have two controllers. I only have one.
Get it anyway.
Yeah, I'm not a psychopath. I only have one
controller. How does it plug, by the way? It plugs into the wall?
Plugs into the wall.
Yeah, it's like any.
Okay, what? So that frees up one USB? I mean, it's just funny. It's like.
I just plug my DualShock in or DualSense in.
It's like a Bukkake situation.
Buy a second controller too. Why not?
Actually, real talk, what is the USB-C port in the front for? What are you supposed to do with that?
It's
charge?
Probably direct USB-C.
Plugging
to USB-C.
In your brand new iPhone 12 Pro Max cable that I don't have a block for because they said you already have a block, so we're going to not give you a block, but then we're going to give you a cable that you can't use your old blocks with. I don't know. Sure maybe VR down the road, if they do a new VR, maybe that'll support it.
Okay.
Or maybe they're going to...
And SSD. It's SSD would work better on that, too.
SSDs work on USB-C. Also, maybe for people, if they want to get a USB-C to USB-C to charge a controller.
No, 100%.
But your phone does charge through
that. It's a 2.0 or 3.
You have this cable.
Your phone could charge it. Yeah. No, it comes with the charging controller is USB-C to 3.0.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Okay. I want to move into the PlayStation now.
Back to PlayStation, tossing back over.
Keep going back and forth, and then we could talk about some games that we've been playing or whatever.
Oh, okay, games of the
after. PlayStation, anything else other than obviously it looks sexy as hell. I got my baby right next to me.
So Jesse has the digital only version, which looks weird as fuck. Because it's symmetrical.
It looks the exact same.
It's symmetrical. It's so weird. I don't like it.
It's supposed to be symmetrical. That's,
I don't like it. Okay, I don't know. I like the disc drive on it. I don't know why. Like,
here's my take. I bet
it looks sexier.
Yeah, it looks much sexier. I think they designed it originally in the labs and they said, you know, fuck it, 2020, we're doing all digital. But then some number crunchers are like, oh no, we need to put a disc drive for all these reasons. And they're like, hey guys, can you put a disc drive on it? And it's like, it's going to look weird. It's not going to look even. And they're like, no, just put a disc drive. We have to put it on. And they're like, all right, we could fit it here. And then that's how it happened. I totally admit that the digital version is the
it looks sexier.
Oh, see, I actually like the disc version. If it looks more like a skyscraper.
It looks like my PS5 is pregnant, bro.
I know it has a booty on it, you know. It has like a nice
or
ass.
Or it has a nice ass, fantastic ass.
I do appreciate that all of the accessories like match. So, like the DualSense looks like the console, the Pulse headset matches the console.
It's going to be funny because the camera matches the console. I can't imagine the things are still going to match. Like they must make.
They're
going to
eventually start
colors.
Making different color controllers.
Exactly, it's like that's
going to
be
stuff.
It's going to be like how the NES all had the matching box art for the launch.
So has anyone taken apart their faceplates to see what it looks like underneath?
Oh, wow. No way. No way.
I mean,
I love this thing.
Probably am later. I want to paint them matte black, but I'm going to wait until until people actually do it. And there's like actually
people that do it
in YouTube. I haven't checked. I'm sure someone has, but I want to see how long they last if you paint them by yourself.
Oh, true.
Because I feel like if you paint it, like just take them out real quick, paint them or whatever, and don't do it properly or don't put like a coating or something, and you put it back, it might like the heat might like, especially in the corners where the ports are, like it might like heat it up and like mess up the whole thing.
You're fine.
Yeah, no, I'm not fine, bro. I pay $500 for it. I'm not gonna fucking. And then we don't know when I'm gonna be able to get another one. So
put a sticker.
This thing, it's not even close to about the money. Having a PS5 right now is a sign of like
status.
Like you were able to
social status move.
Like you were able to catch Moby Dick.
Yeah, straight up. Yeah, you have a big fish. I love it. I think it's actually so funny that it's really become even like mainstream people. I have people hitting me up, yo, Jeff. I get a PS5. Like I know you're a gamer. It's like nope. You know you're gonna have to play a 2K on a PS4, bro.
Okay, in the system, I don't know why, because now so they have the UI, right? And then if you tap it, it's going to bring the little small UI on the bottom.
Control center and home. Control center.
So okay, they changed it where it's hold to go to the home screen and then tap to bring up the game bar thing. Game bar is Xbox.
Like that
the
has little been desktop. Throwing
exact,
me off.
It's been throwing me off.
The opposite. Insane.
Which has thrown me off.
Which Jeff, you said that it adds extra steps to closing a game, which it doesn't. You just hold the button and then press start and then close. Like it's exactly the same. You just got to hold instead of tap.
Nope. You have to hold. Then you have to go down. Then you have to go all the way to the right. Then you have to hit the power button.
What are you talking
you
about?
Up. I mean, you hold,
when you're in the game, you hold the PlayStation button. It brings you to the icon. You press start and close. I did it like with every game I've done it with. Like every game I've opened.
Like, are you closing the game or are you talking about to put it like in rest mode, Jeff?
Oh, I just mixed up. I was saying rest mode, what I just said.
Oh, but that's
the other day you said about closing a game. I'm
you have to hit it. You have to close it from the app switcher.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Hold the PlayStation button, tap options, and then close like you used to.
But it doesn't always leave you on your tile, does it? It brings you to the first tile.
Yeah.
I'll have to use the testing. Maybe on that, but whatever. I think the power off is more annoying.
That's it's annoying. You have to tap it, and then you got to scroll all the way to the over.
It's definitely
then...
how it's not the same as it was before.
Oh, that's
before.
I mean,
well,
the
difference is on the quick menu. Yeah, you were able to move the power option up to the top. So when you did the power, it was right there. So this one, you have to go all the way. I mean, it's not that it's not as big a deal as just making it out to be, but it is like a little bit.
Obviously, we were saying earlier in the episode, we'll get used to it. I totally understand.
It'll stop like this. It's going to be updated and they're going to add it to the system later on. This is how the UI is going to get slower, how the PS4 happened. Like,
but that's a bullshit statement. That's a bullshit statement. The Xbox One, the launch Xbox One, runs the updated UI very, very well.
The PS4 has not, like, it's the same thing. Like the new UI.
Whose fault is that? That's PlayStation's fault.
Jeff's saying that it's poor optimization, not the console not being able to handle it.
Yeah, the hardware can handle it. So they should. Okay, so yeah, what are you saying?
But this is what's going to happen. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And we know this already. Because
PlayStation, if you're listening, don't do it.
They're going to do it. They're not focused too much on that stuff.
Don't do it.
Oh, they're gonna do it.
They don't give a shit.
I have the GPU jungle theme in my head. Can we talk about Astro?
Oh my god.
Oh, let's get into the games here.
Astro's games. I feel like we did talk a lot about Astro. We talked about the art. Didn't really talk about the gameplay and everything.
Yeah, but let's give our actual thoughts on the overall game, because I feel it. It's
game of the year so far.
Could be. Honestly, I hope it's going to be on the kids section, because usually that's always Nintendo games. It's always Nintendo.
But what Jeff just said leads to what I was going to say, which said this is the most Nintendo game I've ever played on a PlayStation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was 2 years ago with
Astro's Rescue Mission 2, Astrobot Rescue Mission 2.
Astro is the closest franchise to a Mario type franchise, I think, is the correct wording of that,
because it's the second best 3D platformer. Also,
see the care built in this game.
SSD Speedway, there's a 2D alien flying part. Like, it's so cool. This game is so good, man. This game is the only game since Mario Odyssey where I was smiling for the first hour of me playing. I just kept laughing and giggling.
Sad man.
Dude, that was me. What game when I was playing Mario Odyssey? I was mining.
Well, that's what I was saying.
I was crying from how amazing the game was. Yeah. I'm like, they have the processing unit, the processor box.
Have the CPU in the liquid metal fucking tank. Like, it's so brilliant.
Yes, they do. They do. I remember that was one of the craziest things. The
GPU was singing lyrics that you can find in the level.
In the level,
and everything else around you was also singing with you.
It's a genuinely magical game. I don't know how they make it. The people behind it are amazing.
Now, who made this? Japan Studio?
No, Team Asobi, who is a SIE Japan Studio subsidiary. I'm looking at it right now. They're pretty much they've made the Playroom VR, Astro Bar Rescue Mission, Astro Playroom. They're literally formed as a division from Japan Studio to make these games. I love it.
So just to add something a little bit more to what Anthony was saying, this is the second game that I could remember that from the start to the end, I'm just smiling the whole fucking time. Smiling and just actually laughing of small little stuff. Mario Odyssey was the first one, and now this. I feel obviously, I think we all agreed. I feel PlayStation kind of knows they have something with Astro, and if they just fail to deliver an actual game later in a couple years or whatever, it'll be just a mismanaging of fucking just Astro. Because that little fucking little robot, bro, I just want to grab it and just fucking shake a little bit. I just want to have a little doll or whatever, dude. Just, I want to buy it.
Remember that PlayStation was born on the ending of Mascot Gaming, right? That was when PlayStation had come out, 1994. Yes. Right after Mascot Gaming hit its peak with Sonic, Mario. And then PlayStation eventually had Crash. Yep.
They Crash and Spyro, yeah.
Yep, Crash and Spyro. And this is the first time since those games.
Yes.
Originally playing those games.
I would say Sackboy with PS3 was close. It wasn't quite there.
Making
what do you mean? Sony's mascot? The fucking the cat guy. Everyone knows the cat thing from PlayStation Battle Royale All-Stars. Wasn't it Toto or something?
Will you shut the fuck up?
What was that motherfucker's name? Remember that guy? And everyone in America is like, who? And they're like, oh, it's a Sony Japan thing. It's like, oh, okay. Back to Miguel's thing. To be fair, you're saying if they don't do something with him, they have done something with him every 3 to 2 years. So Playroom 2013, Playroom VR 2016, Astrobot Rescue Mission 18, Astro's Playroom 20.
He wants a full $60.
I know, but
to be fair, Astrobot Rescue Mission was a full game, so maybe we will get another full game.
They have been keeping him in the zeitgeist.
The big, system, bro.
Which I know. I agree.
Like for the VR, I couldn't finish the game just because the fucking VR just gave me headaches.
So yeah, it's not.
But I played like a little bit over half of the game, and I loved it. It just I couldn't fucking have the PSVR for like longer than 20 minutes.
I thought my head was
exploding. But I loved that game. Like I wanted to finish, but like after like playing it for 20 minutes, my headaches just.
Okay, but switching gears to other big games, the highest rated Metacritic game currently on PS5 is Demon's Souls. Anthony, is Demon's Souls?
So I'm the only one out of the four of us that has played Demon's Souls. I never played the original, so this is basically a new game for me. From what I understand, it's mostly, you know, mostly faithful to the original. It's mostly aesthetic changes.
A couple things that people are barely discovering right now.
Well, so yeah, there's Easter eggs that they added, but as I'm just saying, like the game itself at its core is the same game. It's mostly aesthetic stuff that they changed. So, coming off of Bloodborne, man, I'm banging my head against the wall, but not because the game is hard. It's because I'm trying to play it like Bloodborne because people don't understand. People hear like, oh, it's a From Software game, so Bloodborne is just more Dark Souls. It's really not. Bloodborne is a fundamentally different game. You dodge differently. You go about combat differently. The weapons are completely different. It's a completely different game. I mean, if you want to say Demon's Souls and Dark Souls, sure, because Dark Souls is literally like the spiritual successor. But Bloodborne plays completely differently. So I'm kind of like still getting into the groove of playing the game. I kind of keep playing, you know, running through the first area over and over again to get used to the combat.
If I'm wrong, it's lower pace, right? I feel like Bloodborne, you're able to move a little bit faster.
The actual combat itself is slower pace. Okay. So like you're rolling around. I mean, it depends on the class you pick. I pick the knight just because I just want to kind of have a straightforward playthrough first, and then I'll go through something different and more fun. Mm-hmm.
I haven't played either, so give me a quick understanding of what the premise of that is.
If you like dying
either
a lot.
One. Yeah. Well, I know
that. No,
action game.
No, so
that's hard.
The way that I like to describe these games is that they are really like 3D Metroidvania games. Because the way the levels are designed, you're supposed to like run through this side area of a castle so that you can unlock the front gate. So that later on when you go back to it, you can just go through the front gate. And it's kind of there's a lot of that. There's a lot of exploring. There's a lot of kind of figuring out, like, you know, when you run into a new enemy, like how, you know, learning their moveset so you can counter them and all that. And these games, I feel like unfairly a lot of times get labeled as kind of just like too hard or too difficult. And they are hard. Don't get me wrong. And your character is going to die a lot. You're going to die a lot in these games, but I like these games, especially I loved Bloodborne so much. And I played Dark Souls 3. I didn't beat it, but I played a good amount of it. The thing I love about these games, and I played a lot of Sekiro, but I didn't like Sekiro, is that anytime you learn, you feel the game, like you feel like you understand the game more. And it's almost like a dynamic difficulty setting because you're learning how to play it. So you're like, all right, I know not to do this against this guy. I know to wait for this thing against this guy. And that's why I'm kind of against them adding like an easy mode to these From Software games. Like a lot, like when Bloodborne came out and I think Dark Souls 3 and I think Sekiro was the big one where it really boiled over online of people wanting an easy mode in Sekiro. And I think that I don't know how you go about an easy mode in these games, because how do you do it? Do you make, because if you change the pattern of attacks that the enemies make, you're fundamentally changing the game because you're changing the experience.
And Time out. Why not?
Just take more hit and more damage.
You deal more damage, you take less damage.
It's usually a percentage thing. That's exactly right.
I mean, I guess you could do that, but then it's
you can
easy.
Still see all the visuals. I don't know. It's still a game. But it still works. Can't you mod it and do this?
I mean,
it's
Cuphead.
Aren't they just
did
values?
Cuphead did it. Cuphead.
At the end of the day, aren't they just fucking values? And I get the point that they're like, oh no, I'm not going to. It's supposed to be hard, but it's like
it's supposed to, but it's just giving the.
But
option
it's not.
For
but that's.
That
but that's
just
the thing
experience
is
the game. Like I get what you're trying to say,
but the experience of the game is the gameplay. Is what I'm saying. That's like it's, you don't play Dark Souls or Demon's Souls for the story. You play it for the gameplay. You know what I mean? It's like
you're still going to get the gameplay.
What?
Gameplay should be the story.
Or what if you want to play it for the story and you want to play it for the world? I guess,
but that's not the vision for these games.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's a good point because
it's just
an option, bro. At the same point, why aren't I saying, well, why can't I play Mario as Donkey Kong? I want to play Mario. You know, it's like, well, okay, well, then fucking play Mario as Donkey Kong. You figure it out. The Nintendo doesn't want make Donkey Kong the main character or whatever.
I guess you could deal more damage and them deal less damage, but I don't know. I feel like these games are designed for. I mean, there's a lot of games that don't have difficulty settings. You know what I mean? Like Assassin's Creed. Wasn't Assassin's Creed dynamic?
Yeah, but those games aren't as hard.
I mean, Odyssey is pretty brutal if you don't level up the right way, which can happen.
Yeah. Well, it goes pay to win.
The more that it feels like it's on the rails. You don't want that either. So it's a really fine line to try and sit on. But true. Like to the
way I look at it is that a lot the people that want an easy mode in these games are kind of just like missing the point of these games is that the games aren't hard, you just need to pay attention.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool.
It's not like playing Call of Duty on veteran. Playing Call of Duty on veteran, you're doing it for the trophy, and you can just drop the difficulty whenever you want. And
speaking
you can
of
chunk
this,
through
Call
stuff,
of Duty is the easiest one to play on veteran. But anyway.
Hold on. Well, by the way, fun fact, I will be giving Demon's Souls a try. It's on my Gamefly. I've been, as everyone knows who's a listener of this podcast, my Gamefly has been hitting me so right recently.
Did you play Sekiro on Gamefly or no?
Yeah, I did. Oh my God, that was tough.
Because I know you played Bloodborne when it was free on Plus back a couple years
Bloodborne,
ago.
Yeah,
you got up to the Cleric Beast and quit. Which is the first boss, which is also an optional boss that you could have just skipped.
I was actually surprised I got to the Cleric Beast. I thought like I wouldn't even be able to. And then I went to the sewers and all the rats ate me.
Fucking giant.
But yeah, I will be getting that on my Gamefly as well as Hyrule Warriors.
I didn't even really say what Demon's I thought Souls. About the game. Visually, I think it's probably
like you liked it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot. I just beat the first boss. It's beautiful. And I'm playing in performance mode, so I don't even know what it looks like in the fidelity mode I just want the solid 60 frames. I think it's the best looking game I've played so far. Out of all like the quote unquote next gen games, I have Assassin's Creed Valhalla coming probably later this week on Gamefly. So I'll try that.
Better than Call of Duty looking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Come on, Call of Duty.
We'll get to Call of Duty in a little bit.
Looking games.
Let's do Call of Duty last because it's the one game I think we all have in common other than Astro's Playroom. But
yeah, true. Yes. Spider-Man. Did we all get Miles?
I no. didn't. My friend. My friends let me borrow
no
his disc.
No one else got Miles. That's crazy.
Not in the mood for that.
I never finished the DLC, so.
Well, then get the ultimate edition. There's like one cutscene at the end that like.
But yeah, so Demon's Souls looks amazing. I'm really enjoying it so far. I just hope that Bloodborne gets a fucking patch because I still need the Platinum Bloodborne. But I recommend it to anyone that's a Souls fan. I didn't play the original, so I can't compare it. But for someone that's coming into it looking at it as a new game, it doesn't feel like a PS3 game. It feels like a PS5 game.
I mean, it was remade. So there you go.
Yeah.
Miles Morales. Jeff, you're the only one playing it from us. What do you think about it? I don't know if you like dive too much of it.
An hour in, really? An hour? Not okay. Much, yeah.
Graphically, comparing it to the PS4
Pro. Ray tracing? Yo, these PC guys were onto something. Let me tell you what, with their NVIDIA's 1s and 2s and the 30s and 80s. I mean,
30 FPS, but sure.
Okay, I'm in 30 FPS. Not the biggest deal. I played the original Spider-Man 30 FPS.
I can't play on 30 FPS.
Ray tracing. Dude, you are getting real-time reflections. You remember fucking Puddlegate? This is puddles are coming to life. You see the real-time reflections on glass. It's insane. It really brings the whole world to life. HDR, the sunset. I took a picture just like to have in my collection. I didn't really share it because I might have shared it actually.
I didn't mean to share the clip I shared in our group chat yesterday. By the way,
I was trying to save it to my phone,
and it doesn't let you. I thought it was gonna like give me the option.
That's
to save
one
it
of the best
phone.
Features of Xbox that you could take a screenshot and send it to your phone. But yeah, Miles Morales. The electric abilities are very cool. Adds something to Spider-Man. You know, it's different. It's not just more Spider-Man 1. You know, it's new stuff. New suits to collect. Some characters that I was surprised that they brought in, but just in the beginning, I don't want to spoil anything. It's kind of like a, ooh, you know, type thing. But overall, really good. If you liked one, buy it. I can't say anything else. If you didn't like one, you should have liked one.
I just can't believe you're not playing on performance mode. I feel like that's a game that you need to be able to just like fly through the skyline.
I'm
like
gonna switch. Once again, I played an hour. I wanted to see what actual, you know, I've seen 60 frames. I wanted to see
that's fair.
Ray tracing is. But yeah.
Shout out to just real quick to go back to Astro. Shout out to the ray tracing in that game, man. Like when you're standing in the grass, like if you're standing in high grass, Astro's body looks green because it's reflecting the colors from the grass around him. Like it's so cool.
Yeah, well, actually, one of the first things once I booted up my PS5 and started Astro is just like stared at my monitor, and you know that like PS4 looks really good, but still things in the distance are pixelated and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like shit is sharp all around on this. Like we got HD, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That brings a good point too. Have you gone to see the boat people in Miles Morales yet to see if they're still?
No, I see the Easter egg, the joke going around. I feel a little missed out on that joke because I didn't really know about the boat people originally. I guess I missed that like new story.
Hilarious. Low poly,
but I do. I think it's funny. Games, yeah. I think, is it Call of Duty time?
I got Valhalla, but I still haven't started.
Jesse, you played a good amount of Bugsnacks.
Oh my god! Oh, yeah. How do we not talk about Bugsnacks?
Bugsnacks.
I haven't touched it. Guys? I haven't touched it.
I downloaded. I have it on.
It's
my
installed.
System,
yeah. I booted it up and then closed it.
Oh my god! How do we not speak about Destiny? But yeah, okay. Speak about your time with Bugsnacks.
I think Destiny. We might need to wait until.
I barely played. I mean, I beat the campaign, but I barely played that much Destiny. So much content.
Could give you 2 minutes on Bugsnacks. Ready? Have you played Slime Rancher?
Yes. I watched you play.
Frustratingly, I tried
Bugsnacks. Bugsnacks is Slime Rancher with Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Okay.
If you've watched the movie Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and watched everything just say its own name like a Pokemon, that is literally
what
this
game is. Is it easier to figure out
is.
What the fuck to do? Because Slime Rancher, I had no idea what the fuck to do in it.
Yeah, no
idea. They handhold you through everything. It's a story-driven game.
Ooh.
Nothing about it makes it like, oh my god, this is so difficult. Like, what do I do? Like, catching these bug snacks is... It's enjoyable because there's kind of a puzzle aspect of like, how do I get this thing to do this thing so I can capture it? But the creativity, it's really creative. It's just, once you beat it, it's not a game you're going to go back to. It is the perfect PlayStation Plus game. It is not a game that anyone should buy. And the reason why I think that is just because once you play it, you're going to be like, oh, this is all this game is. And then that's it. But when you get it for free, you're like, wow, this is great. So
yeah, like Fall Guys. I wouldn't pay for Fall Guys, but getting Fall Guys for free, I was like, fuck yeah.
Pay for Fall Guys, but that's a whole other conversation.
Did Fall Guys get a PS5 update? I don't know what they could update about it. Maybe load time.
No, but I did download it. And it actually, has anyone played? You played Fall Guys, Jesse, on PS5?
Not yet. I haven't. It
seems like the contrast is like boosted up. It's so bright, and you can't change the settings, and it just is like, what's going on? Whatever.
No.
Let me know if you get that issue.
I will.
And then before we get into Call of Duty, I just want to talk about some backwards compatible stuff. I'm not going to get into each individual game, but I did play a bunch of games. It's kind of random what games are really good and what games are kind of the same. Like Red Dead Redemption 2, I mean... It's the same. It's locked to 30. There's nothing you can do about it.
Time's better. Update it later on.
Yeah. So Rockstar. Once Rockstar updates it, that game's going to be phenomenal. Final Fantasy 15 does run at a locked 60 frames. It's so good. The game that I really want to just give a shout out to is Days Gone. Because if you didn't play Days Gone, or if you only played a little bit of Days Gone, or if you're someone like Miguel who lost your game save like 10 hours in. Go back to it. It's like a completely different game at 60 frames. It's so good. I played it for like, I don't know, a half hour yesterday just because I wanted to see how it ran, and I'm in the end game. I still have some side quests to do so I can get the platinum. But it runs so superbly. It's like a whole new game now. I feel like that is the one game that I really want to hit home of like, go play this PS4 game that you probably missed. Because it's phenomenal.
I will.
And then a couple other assorted things. I mean, Destiny, like you said, load times, but they haven't updated the game itself yet. That will eventually run at 60. Hitman 2 is
a
game.
Load times, by the way, make it very bearable. I was saying, I think a couple weeks ago that like, yeah, I forgot how I played PS4 Destiny. It's so unbearable. It's like 3 minutes to do anything. PS5, great.
Like 50 seconds, something like that.
Yeah, I'm not going back to PC. Fuck that shit.
But the one other game other than Days Gone I want to highlight is Hitman 2, because IO Interactive really played it right I don't know if they were looking ahead or if they were just giving players options, but there are two settings for the game. One is that you can unlock the frame rate regardless of what mode you're in, and then they also added the performance or resolution like toggle. So on PS4 Pro, you would probably want to go performance, unlock the frame rate, and then you're hitting that, you know, 50s to maybe sometimes 60s range. And then performance, and then visual mode will lock it down to 30, and you probably want to lock the frame rate as well. On PS5, if you unlock the frame rate and put it in resolution mode, you're still running at a lock 60, and you're getting the resolution mode settings. So the game looks beautiful and runs at 60. So I think that I wish that game, that devs did that. Like if Final Fantasy 15 did that, so I could play the resolution mode in 60 frames, I would have loved it. It still looks great in performance mode, but it is knowing it is a lower setting than the performance, than the resolution mode. So I just want to give a shout out to IO Interactive for really, you know, future proofing Hitman 2. And I'm actually probably going to wait on Hitman 3 just because I still have a lot more to do in Hitman 2. And knowing that it's going to run and look that good, I'm okay. But I am looking forward to Hitman 3. But yeah, I mean, I played some other backwards compatible stuff. Maybe I'll bring, maybe I'll go through the stuff I played this week and talk about it on next week's episode. But overall, backwards compatibility is I think a PS5 might honestly be worth it for people that just want to play games the way they should have been on PS4.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I've been saying if you don't have a PS5, you're an idiot. Go get out of here. Don't talk to me. The only reason why you shouldn't have a PS5 is because they're unavailable. Because
you have two.
Because you have two, yeah, there you go. Because you have three. But, yeah, it's you don't question the $500. You buy the PS5 because you buy the PS5. That is my take. That is my review. But speaking about Call of Duty, let's keep this. Let's end this show before 9, please, because we started over an hour ago at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you can't put a time limit.
Jesse's missing the Vikings game.
No, Miguel, keep it.
Let me spoil the ending for you, Jesse. They're winning. It's the Bears. They fucking suck.
Oh.
Okay. Miguel's a Bears fan. You're a Vikings fan. You both hate your own teams.
I was thinking, where are the Bears? I played the all of Call of Duty. There were no Bears. How were they winning? The Russians? Okay, let me just start off at least in order of the main menu. Campaign. I beat the campaign. Anthony, I think you're still in the middle, right?
I played like two missions. I kind of just want to skip all the side missions and just mainline it.
The side missions are... Did you beat it, Jesse?
No, I'm six missions in on veteran. This is the easiest Call of Duty I've played ever.
That's what I told Anthony. It's so easy.
Oh, Miguel, what mission are you up to?
I done like seven missions.
Oh, okay, nice. All right, so as you played it, you all played it. Yeah, so I think the choices lead to... so there are essentially three full missions in the game with unique whole levels that are totally missable. And for a Call of Duty-like campaign with like such production value and like budget involved in the shit, for three fully like fleshed out levels to just be like, if you didn't choose those choices or you didn't choose this thing, you know, you didn't get them. Very easy to replay sections and do choices to get other things or, you know, finish side missions correctly. I really enjoyed it. There are 100% boring missions where it's like, all right, I'm just walking. There are 100%.
That's kind of why I just don't even, like, I kind of just.
It's front loaded with that, though. It gets in the last 70% is action packed, classic Call of Duty. There's just a couple like, oh, we're doing spy shit. We're doing spy shit. You know, it's Cold War. They got
the obligatory sniper mission. Yeah, that was there.
It's Cold War. It's on the box. If you're expecting full on action, you're crazy. It's Cold War.
There's a mission that you gotta go nice, like stealthy around.
Several, yeah. Like two, maybe.
So you didn't like that?
No, I thought it was great. I'm just saying for bitch hoes like Anthony, JK, JK. But it is slow.
I'm the stealth guy, Adam. What are you talking about?
So what? What didn't you like about the beginning?
I feel like you're the one that's saying.
I didn't say anything wrong with the beginning. I just don't want to. I'm just not in the mood to play the campaign, period. It's nothing against the game itself.
Ooh. I'm losing.
I mean, you're talking too about multiple choices, multiple paths. I mean, Shadow the Hedgehog had multiple paths. It doesn't make it a good game.
Shadow the Hedgehog is one of the best games ever made, dude. I got that for my 10th birthday. Don't even say that right now.
All right. I think the podcast needs to end. it was good being here. No, but it's really not. Like, don't get me wrong. I think the choices are cool. I don't know if I'm going to go back and replay the story. I kind of want to. I'm always the good guy in the first run. I'm always the asshole in the second run. So, like,
Dude, the asshole run in this sucks. Honestly, at the end of the day, your choices in the middle don't actually make that much of a difference. It's literally one choice at the end. And then the side missions are just if you do them or not.
So, like, should I skip the side missions?
No, I think the side missions are good. But this, there's, dude, what?
Just play with how
I just don't have time, man. Like, I just,
the whole,
like,
game is 5 hours. Dude, you beat the game in an afternoon. You have to be a play however you want, play however you want. Whatever.
Play has no limit. Play whatever you want. Jesus fucking.
Nice. And then let's move it to multiplayer, where Miguel, what do you think about multiplayer?
Oh boy.
Why don't you stop complaining and play whatever you want?
All I'm going to say about multiplayer before Miguel gets into it and just totally fucking goes scorched earth on this.
I love it.
I think the ray tracing multiplayer looks really good. That's all I'm going to say. No, Miguel, all you.
I love multiplayer.
Of course you do, because you suck at it. It's bad. It's fucking Advanced Warfare fucking type of level. Bad.
But let's talk bad. Why is it bad? What about it?
Just give me a second. I'm getting there. Taking my sweet
time. For the record, I think it's bad, and I think Jesse thinks it's bad as well. And also Tay, my wife, thinks it's bad, and she loves Black Ops games.
And she likes the Black Ops game. So, a couple things. Gameplay-wise, like, I see what they're trying to do. They want to go that fast-paced. But the animations are really bad in this game. Oh, everything, meaning with the gun, how you're aimed on sights, how it looks, just how graphically, does lighting, it's broken.
It feels like Black Ops 4 just up-resed. Like as far as, like, animations go, like, it's not realistic.
It's
way more arcadey than, like, modern. I said this to you guys the other day. Modern Warfare feels like the next-gen game out of the two, because I played Modern Warfare on PS5 as well.
That is bad. The maps from launch right now.
First of all, there's only 8 maps total.
Yes. For 6v6. Let's clarify that. They're bad. There is no flow whatsoever. They feel like the maps from World War II, which Sledgehammer made. Just a bunch of stuff.
Which we'll get to theory I have in a little bit.
And, like, that's it. This game doesn't feel like a Treyarch game, pretty much.
To me, it feels like a Sledgehammer game that fell apart, and then Treyarch had to try and put a Band-Aid on it. That's what it feels like to me. And it feels like, and David Vonderaar even tweeted saying it's like we're halfway there, or it's 50%.
Yeah, he tweeted something weird.
It was a very strange tweet. Like
you're saying that we're halfway done with the game.
Yeah, like, it's very strange that Treyarch, like, didn't tell him to remove that tweet. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. I get the feeling that this is a Sledgehammer game that Treyarch was like, ah, shit, we gotta fix this because they fucked it up. I feel like, you know, they're gonna start adding, like,
remaster maps, bro. At least five.
I think we're gonna get the back to black maps. We're gonna get jungle, firing range, slums, now. And
I need it now. And, if I'm gonna enjoy this game.
Obviously, Nuketown confirmed getting. What was the fourth one? Jungle, slums,
some of the worst
summit,
maps, literally, and ever in a Call of Duty game. Period. They literally. I played Dunes. What is the actual name for Dunes?
Satellite.
It's horrible.
Checkmate. I think Checkmate's a really good map.
No, there's like one or two good ones, but like Satellite. Really, like, Satellite, and I expected Afghan, which was a great map.
That's what I said.
That's not even close.
It's not even close. And it's like horrible. Half of the kill streaks and half of the maps don't even reach.
It's a Star Wars Battlefront map in Call of Duty, which doesn't translate because Call of Duty's not that Star Wars Battlefront.
It's so bad. It hurts. It's painful to play some of these matches.
The only two decent maps, it's probably Moscow and Checkmate.
I hate Moscow. I don't have a problem with Checkmate. I don't know why you guys all hate Checkmate.
Checkmate,
I don't
think Harris is
okay. It's just okay.
It's okay. It's fine. That's the one that feels the most like a Treyarch map, I think.
The one that actually feels like a Treyarch map is Armada, the 6v6.
Armada feels like a Battlefield map, which is why I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying the 6v6 version of it.
Okay, all right. I think Armada is the only acceptable combined arms map. I think that Cartel and combined arms. Cartel, I'm okay with in 6v6.
Okay, hold on. Let me get negative.
Crossroads is bad. Crossroads is very bad.
We'll talk about let's see at the end, because I think that's the best part of the game.
Why are there 8 maps? What? How did they?
Okay, you want me to tell you?
I'm telling you, it's a sledgehammer game that Treyarch put their name on.
Know the reason. Obviously, we all knew the reason. Money bullshit.
Right in the game. In the score streak, like six score streaks, they're in the game, in the files, and they took them out in a patch before the game came out.
They probably didn't work. They probably didn't work.
You're telling me the B-side doesn't fucking work? You're telling me the fucking, what's the, one of the score streaks they had?
Which one's the V-set? Just like the persistent UAV?
Yes, the advanced
dude,
UAV.
Dude, yeah. The You're game barely works. The game blue screens, or now on the PS5, black screens, people's systems.
Wait.
It's Treyarch.
Launched the game. I think it shut down my console, bro. I was like, yep. What in the fuck? Yep. I was pressing the power button and it didn't work. I was like, what the fuck?
It's admirable.
I had to plug it back in before it worked. I was like, holy shit.
Dude, I mean, I told you guys on the podcast, the past couple of months, how the alpha and the beta literally broke my router. Like, yeah, it's the only game that's ever done that, where, like, my internet would just... My internet, my PC was not, like, I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Several,
like, my router itself. Like, I don't know.
The controllers, yeah. No, so, okay. Treyarch is a professional at breaking hardware somehow through the power of software. They inject it, and also all their software goes through all of the what are they?
Certification. The PS,
yes, sir. Yeah, certification. How the fuck does anyone just play one Call of Duty match in a crisis?
Money,
like, okay. Because they money, right? Yeah. Oh, 100%. They pay to get through. 100%. With the amount of patches they have, each patch has to go just through cert.
Dude, the game's had a patch every single day since it came out. I don't know about today, but up until today, every single day.
Let me give you an actual tech understanding of what I think is happening. Mm-hmm. There is almost definitely a memory leak somewhere.
I know, bro. It was the same thing on BO4. It was the same thing.
It's literally a memory leak, and it's turning off consoles. It's disconnecting hardware. How do you leave a memory leak in a game?
How did it break my router? Is what I don't understand how that works.
18, same exact issue from 2018 with zombies. It makes no sense. But speaking of zombies, I love.
No. Wait.
It's 9 o'clock, bro. It's 9 o'clock. Come on. You have more multiplayer.
Yes.
Let's just spread it out.
More things. No. Let's
just. The more you complain, the more it takes them to say. Just say it.
Yeah. A couple more things real quick. The lobbies, like splitting the lobbies after a match is still fucking the stupidest thing they're doing. Why skill-based matchmaking? We all know this. I just played six games right now. Eight games, I'm sorry. Six of them were peer-to-peer. How is that a thing in 2020? How? The other thing, I was running around with a knife, so I was dying a lot the first couple games. Like, the sixth match that I had, I thought I was playing bots. I was executing people in front of their teammates, and they were just looking at me. Like, that is proof of skill-based matchmaking. I don't know what the fuck it is. I hate... The game's not fun, and I fucking hate it with a passion. I fucking hate it. It's the first COD that I just, like, have no inkling of just not, like...
You're kind of like that with BO4.
I was this close of deleting the fucking game.
Yeah, you were like that with Modern Warfare a bit too.
You were literally the same way for the past two CODs. Listen to the
three,
fucking podcast.
No, three, because World War II also.
Oh, yeah. That one's gone.
Just listen to the episode.
And Infinite Warfare and Advanced Warfare. Literally, BO3 was the last Call of Duty Miguel liked.
Yes,
like
I actually did.
Admit it.
Because they don't know how to fucking make it, Call of Duty. It's so easy.
Stop playing it.
But zombies.
Zombies is amazing.
Jesse. Jeff.
Yep.
Zombies.
Yep.
Probably the best fucking zombies experience that I have fucking played so far.
You know what? It's really good.
It's my favorite since Black Ops 1. Really my favorite since Black Ops 1.
They did what I wanted. Like... It's easy for people like me that I just want to jump in and play and turn the power on and it's easy. And it's like, and there's like the Easter eggs and all that complicated shit that I hate that Jeff likes, that loves.
I called this actually, if you were listening to any of my like just fucking party chats with like Timmy Chong and Duel. But I'm like, dude, if they are going to continue doing zombies, like while playing BO4. It's like they're going so fucking, why is the shield have 20 spawns now? It's like, what are we even doing anymore? Like, what are these? Who is this fucking mode for? And it's like 10,000 people are playing it. Like, the stream numbers are doing terrible. Like, all the zombie creators are getting no numbers because people just don't give a shit. And it's like, zombies can't live if they're going to keep trying to be this weird side thing. They're going to have to become like multiplayer. It's going to have to be.
You're talking about Black Ops 4, right?
This is what I was predicting. And I'm like, okay, they're going to have to do all these things. They're going to have to bring in other people. Like, they can't just keep everything secretive and no one knows anything. It's like, it's not fun. So now they
Black Ops 4. I'd never had any idea what the fuck was going on. Like, nine was cool, but after that, I was like, this is fucking so weird.
But now they addressed all of that, all of what I just said. They brought into zombies for Cold War. There's a mini map, the HUD elements tell you where to go.
Holy shit.
The resource mechanics with the scraps and the armor and the picking shit off the floor after playing games, because now finally zombies is evolving with times. You know, we've had Borderlands. It's not 2008 anymore. We've had Destiny. We have just looter shooters, and what essentially zombies kind of is, in the sense that, you know, you're killing things fast and you're just mowing down things. I mean, it's more horror mode than looter shooter, but I think it's a cool mix of having zombies drop shit, having to pick up equipment, kind of bringing that, you know, battle royale, you know, just like scavenging type thing, or not battle royale, but like, you know, that Rust type vibe. The map itself does lean a little bit too much on Nocturne Titan, which is like, all right, we got a nostalgia. We've been doing this forever. I hope no other maps that they get for free for the first time ever end up relying on old.
Honestly, I would love it if it was just the original four remastered.
Dude, you don't even know.
So the giant we've played like 9 times, so I'm okay with that.
The giant we've played 100 times. They just brought back all the maps in VO3 with Chronicles. Literally, it's right now free on Instant Collection, all of the maps. Download it right now. If you're saying you want the original four, go download them, play them on your PS5.
I just want
the
Xenon.
Experience is not the same.
I genuinely believe. In Black Ops 3 Zombie Chronicle, it is. Yeah, it is.
It is.
It's exactly the same.
Go play it. It doesn't have the same guns.
Why? Because you're not playing on a shitty 360 controller?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. Well, that's I have it anyway. I ran out of space in my PlayStation already.
That's an amazing point, by the way. Listeners, if you want the classic zombies experience, it's on the PS Plus Instant Collection on PS5. Amazing. For free.
Now, this is my joke with zombies real quick for the maps that they're going to or whatever. They're going to grab a section of an older map, and they're just going to grow it like they did with this one.
I firmly believe Shinonuma has the potential to be a great zombie map.
Yeah, they turned it to Zetsubou Neshima. They did that. Like,
it's, is that what that was?
Which one was
it? It's not Shino, but it's an evolved version.
Which one was the stage? That was my favorite one.
Which one's the stage? Kino.
Kino the Dratone.
Kino.
Obviously.
That was one. Probably one of that's probably one of the best zombie maps, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice callback. I enjoy the leveling system outside. My MP5 is a level 36, I think, because I've just been using it in
I like that it's cross progression between
amazing
multiplayer. Oh, we need to talk about that just real quick. The fact that everything is connected between multiplayer and Warzone, when that integrates, is also going to be connected. So I feel like zombies is the best way to level your guns up.
There's probably some min-max thing they could figure out.
I'm just saying, like, generally, like, if you want to have fun while leveling your guns up for multiplayer, go play zombies for like an hour and then go back
to multiplayer. That's the point. You can test things out in zombies where the enemies are coming right at you, and then you can take that same experience with your attachments.
Not right the back. Same, because when you snap into a zombie, it, like, puts it you right
auto-aim.
On.
It's auto-aim, yes. Yeah. That's a good point.
It puts you into
that's
it.
That's fair.
But you can at least see how the gun feels, though.
Mm, yeah.
Then you'll know what guns are not burst fire, like me, who play the game that don't want
to have. Or if you use the M16 in the campaign, and you're like, oh, this is a full automatic gun, and then you go to multiplayer, and it's a three-round burst.
It
like,
probably has an attachment, no? I would imagine.
Maybe. Like
a 71.
You can find out by playing in zombies.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of idea, you could get one of the wall weapons are different tiers. I literally, there's so much I didn't speak about zombies that I love too. It's a lot, and it's a lot of
create a bunch of shit that I'm still don't know what half of the stuff is.
Are you ready for this? We've been waiting for this since 2008. You could join someone's match that already started.
Yes,
and you get the money that would equal the wave that they're on.
What a great quality of life. When you go down, you come back, you get the equivalent you get the round times 10. So when if you come back at 19, you get that money. And
my brother lagged out of a match, and then literally right after that was able to join back and then get his money back, not his guns, obviously, but he was able to come back and play. And
and it wasn't like he was starting with a pistol.
They brought back pause. You could pause from BO4.
Fantastic.
However, they didn't bring from BO4 host migration, One of our hosts that were playing a private game got disconnected from his Wi-Fi.
That might be something, though.
Cuts.
They might later
on. It knocks everyone out.
Oh, so here's an interesting question, too, I have for you. On Zombies on PS5, does your the shading on all of your objects in the map change from light to dark randomly?
The floor has some texture issues, but no, I don't know what the
that sounds like. Oh, what are you playing on? He's playing on Series X.
On the Series X, I will walk from one side of the map to the other, and all of a sudden, everything will turn dark and then go back to light, almost as if there's a trigger that's trying to tell me it's going into a darker mode. And me and my brother have seen this consistently and occasionally.
It's like it's like a glitch that's triggering like it going into the ether.
Almost. That's just a weird glitch.
It's as if the sun is being blocked by a cloud, which you know can't happen.
Right, like
it happens consistently. Like when you walk over a hill, it like pops dark, and then you pop back, and all of a sudden it's light again. So like
then,
it's a bug. Yeah, yeah, that is a weird bug. Take a video.
My question was it a PS5 thing or was it a?
It sounds like either. It sounds like either Series X thing or a U thing.
It's a Call of Duty thing for that console.
That is my only knock.
No, hold on, actually, though. Now that you're bringing up different versions, it's cool that you're playing on the Series X.
Oh, I did want to comment this. Okay, finish that. Finish that.
One of the exclusive features, I think the only exclusive feature, besides, of course, all the DLC and digital content, is the haptic triggers for every gun. So every gun has different trigger sensitivity. You'll know what this is talking about if you played Astros or any DualSense thing. And I love it. I know if you're more a professional player and, you know, obviously it's going to take some strain because it's meant to have a resistance, like, so you're going to be using more muscle to pull the trigger, which kind of makes sense. Oh my god, stop shaking your head, it's mad distracting. I got it, just super distracting.
Whatever, I'll shake my head, just say no.
But it is cool. It is cool that they added it. You can turn it off.
I think it's super cool.
I wish there was a per game setting because I want it on in Astro's Playroom, but I would like to toggle it on and off depending on my mood.
Well, you can turn it off in the game itself, but
yeah, I don't love
it. No, you have to go to the PlayStation console settings and go to
and Call of Duty is an in-game option to turn triggers off.
Turn the triggers
on and off. Yeah.
No, but hold on. This is what I was going to say.
I would like it.
I think it's super cool that when I pick up a gun, it feels different, you know, like I get the shock because it shoots different, but also because, oh, my finger felt a little different on that pull because snipers are more flicky, whereas LMGs are harder to pull.
Miguel, you got to understand, you're a hardcore player. He's just trying to have fun.
I'm aware that it has more resistance. It's still fun.
Talking about this, I want to ask you a question then, because I know you're more of a casual guy than me and Anthony. I don't know.
MLG professional, yeah, more.
I mean... Jesus, I got a better KD than some of those fucking...
There you go. You're Jesus.
Fuck yeah, I am. No, but for real, like you said you like the multiplayer, right?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's just more stupid fun. It's Call of Duty.
Your skill base range, it has to be so much different than ours, man.
Yeah, well, exactly. Oh.
That already. When
I actually, yeah. I win games. They let me win games, so I could keep playing. I don't know. I mean, it's not the best Call of Duty. It's not the best Call of Duty multiplayer. I'm having a good time. It's not as snappy. It's not as
the score system because you're in shit.
Yeah.
Finally,
I've talked about it. Go listen to the beta episodes.
We talked about that before.
Yeah.
Miguel's. I think Miguel's jealous that I could pay $70 and enjoy a game.
It's not that. It's just the UAV spam at the end of the games are just like,
it helps you get kill streaks.
All right,
shows you where people
are. I got two last things real quick, and then we'll end the show.
We gotta wrap this up.
Kill streaks on
one thing is that I don't think this game was worth the extra $10 to get the PS5 version.
No.
Especially when a lot of other games gave PS5 version upgrades for free. Borderlands 3 added the haptic triggers too. You can't say that's the reason why you're paying an extra $10.
Oh, do that. I want to play that.
Borderlands 3 on PS5 is great. That's another one I forgot to mention before. Wait, it's so good. It's so good on PS5. But I don't think it was worth the extra $10. I think that this was a classic Activision just nickel and diming us.
Of course.
And
Toucan did the same thing, bro.
Oh, well,
there's a big with their in-game advertisements.
There's a big...
Also, $80, $70.
Yeah. 2K, it's actually a big difference, graphically.
Yeah, the game itself, at least, is dramatically different. This game is not different from the PS4.
It's different. Like, it's actually different. I played the PS4 version of COD, and I have played the PS5 version of COD.
He actually tested this yesterday with me in the party.
Much different?
It's the same. It looks the same. It might load a little bit fast. It does load faster. Because I did ask.
Yeah, loading speed is dramatically better.
Are you guys like playing? And I was still fucking loading in. And you guys were actually just moving and started the match.
Do you guys think Evolve on PS5 works?
Oh, good God. All right, let me say my last thing and then we can close the show out. Is I do just want to say how surreal and how cool it was. And I guess testament to Sony and Activision for finally making this happen. But mm-hmm. I'm playing Call of Duty on PS5 with Miguel on PS5 with my wife on PS4 Pro and with Jesse and his brother on Xbox Series X. And was someone else playing with us too, or was it just us five?
No, there was six. Your
there
brother.
Was six.
Oh, and my brother, who was also Xbox Series X too. So I just think it's so cool that like six people that were like just spread out as far as what platform they're playing on.
But let's bring it up for a second, because it took 26 minutes to get that to work for us.
True. But that's Activision.
It took 26 minutes.
That was Activision.
Make the connection work.
That was Activision.
No, you're right. But still, you said you were giving props to Activision and to Sony. But I go back and I say,
I'll never praise Activision servers. Don't get me wrong.
Sony was the blocker to a lot of crossplay. They just were. I don't know why they were, but they were.
They're still blocking it on Paladins. I don't get it.
And I still
but now you have that experience.
Both thing, but sure.
But now you have that experience.
Releasing the Game & Watch this week. Shit's fucking lit.
We also all got iPhone 12 Pro Maxes.
Oh, we got to keep this
Pacific
shit.
Blue.
I just got a case.
I can hold mine up and pretend it is. I haven't got mine in yet.
Honestly, I was more excited to get the fucking Game & Watch than the iPhone 12.
Come on. He doesn't have the new phone. Like, it's not worth it.
I don't have the new phone. I'm also not one of the best friends.
You are, bro.
Yeah, we had a group chat and you left because you got mad at a joke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jeff and
right, let's
joke,
not
I
bring our...
if anyone's listening at this point already, it's... But yeah, I guess that's going to do it. We'll talk more about certain things. I'm sure we'll have more to say about Call of Duty next week, because that's all we ever fucking talk about.
I will.
I do want to try... what was the backwards compatible game I said I wanted to try? I want to try Ghost of Tsushima. I haven't gotten to that yet.
Super Mario Bros.
Oh, actually, that I did want to say that they just patched in GameCube controller support for Sunshine on the Super Mario.
Is that true?
Bros.
I thought invert control.
No, just added a game. Like, I just saw it on Twitter, like while we were recording.
Bet.
GameCube controller for what?
For Super Mario Sunshine on the Super Mario 3D All Stars or whatever the fuck it is.
Thank God. Thank All God. Right. That would be
was it?
Concept.
Was it Sunshine or was it?
Oh shit! It does. Wow.
Sunshine supports need GameCube. That controller. You need that controller because it does not do justice currently in handheld mode.
Yeah, that game
players
is,
can now use the title using the same controls as found in the original GameCube release.
Except you still have that awkward.
The Nintendo Switch Lite does not support this controller option.
Well, obviously, because there's nowhere to fucking plug it into.
Yeah,
However, all button displays within Super Mario Sunshine will not reflect the Nintendo GameCube controller. So it's
you need to know which button is which. Yeah.
Come on.
It's like using a PS4 controller on PC for a game that doesn't that only has the Xbox button prompts.
Even though the UI for Sunshine was so oriented around the GameCube buttons, you know?
But let's be clear, if you're playing with a gaming controller on this game, you're doing it because you want to play it and you remember playing it before, not because you're a new person jumping in for the first time.
Yeah, like anyone that didn't play it on GameCube is probably just saying, fuck it, I'll play it.
And you can invert controls, by the way, they added. But yeah, that's a fun little... There you go.
One last thing before... So you guys could think about it. If anyone's listening still, which I doubt. If anyone's listening, just test this. The PS5 does not have quick resume, right?
No.
Okay. But if you go into a game and scroll down to view your cards, you have like three options where to start from. And it like automatically puts you
in PS5 games.
PS5 games, yes. Mm-hmm. It automatically puts you in that spot, whatever you want to do in those game cards.
When I was trying to clean up the stuff I missed in GPU Jungle and Astro, and it was just like, go directly to the area you need to go to. I was like, oh, it was so fucking good. And shout out to the little hint, the little tip hint video things that they show too on the cards. Those are so cool. We got to next episode. We got to talk more about that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, we'll talk more next time about the tip hints.
Just a couple things there for you guys test, so we can talk about it, write about it.
I'll see if any of that stuff's available on Demon's Souls. I would imagine probably not.
Probably for because, what the quick tips?
I'm pretty sure 160 things were made for that one. I'm like 90% sure.
Oh, I meant about like being able to immediately load into certain areas because the point of the game is exploration. But yeah, like
something
the tips
you might have to check. You know,
I'll see. Borderlands might have some cool stuff with that. Let me check Borderlands because Borderlands 3 got the update. So I'll check with Borderlands.
Little things that we have to check. I'm saying, just putting it for next episode. Cool.
Yeah, I think this week is going to be more of us just kind of testing the waters and seeing what old games do, seeing what new games do.
And complain about COD.
And complain about COD.
Because why not, baby?
But yeah, that's going to do it for episode 29 of Faster Than Reloading. As always, you can catch us on youtube.com/FasterThanReloading. Catch us on your podcatcher of choice. Just type in Faster Than Reloading. You can also find us on Twitter at FTR_pod for the podcast itself. You can find me. I'm at Anthony Palm. Jeff is at MrBrawl96. Miguel is at DarkAngel1010_. Jesse is at JMLMaster. You can also find us on PlayStation. My PlayStation ID is the only X188. That's the word one and then the number's 88. Jeff is Brawl96, no mister. Miguel is DarkAngel1010, no underscore. And Jesse is JMLMaster on PlayStation and Xbox. So you can check him out there as well. You can also find Jesse on Twitch at twitch.tv/JMLMaster. He's streaming a lot. You're doing really good with that. So check him out. He's playing a lot of different stuff all the time.
It's consistent.
And
which is a good thing.
You can go support him. Also, don't forget to donate to our Extra Life campaign, which I mentioned at the beginning. You find a link in the description for the YouTube video or the audio feed.
If you're not buying the PS5, just go in and donate those $500. It's fine.
Exactly. It's fine. You can't find a PS5. Let me just donate $500 to the kids. FTR is FTK. I want to do that as like a slogan next year for the campaign. But yeah, we will catch you all. Is there anything else anyone wants to say before we go? Jesse, thank you for joining us.
Anytime.
I guess that's going to do it. Catch you all next week.
Peace.
Remember, switching to your pistol is always faster than reloading.